That's Toby Fitzsimons, who will be speaking on relationships of cotton productions and high, is that right? Relationships of cotton productions and high temperatures for Lee County, Arkansas.
Hello. One of the things I really wanted to take a look at with relationship to temperature and cotton yield is temperature really is one of the more limiting factors that we have in the Mississippi Delta for growing cotton. Now, over the years, cotton yield itself has actually increased. Now, if we take a look between 1980 and 2010, we do see an overall trend of growth. However, there is a fair amount of that variability. Some years will be really good, and then the following year, it'll just fall. And a lot of that actually may be linked to temperatures. But temperatures when? Some previous research has actually shown that it may be during flowering is whenever that's the more critical areas for temperature. Now, if you think about temperature, some people would say, well, wouldn't a higher temperature be better? You'd be able to germinate faster. You'd be able to have, perchance, be able to grow earlier in the season. Well, it's not necessarily temperature overall, it's when it occurs. Now, higher temperature is actually a very negative effect. And for cotton, that's only between 20 and 30 degrees centigrade is when the optimal temperatures are for cotton growth. Some of the aspects of what that higher temperatures can actually do negatively-wise on the physiological side is cellular damage due to increased amounts of oxygen species, such as a hydrogen peroxide or O negatives, reduced photosynthetic efficiency. As temperatures increase, the photosystem 2 actually decreases in the amount of efficiency it has. And also a reduction in the available carbohydrate and ATP for pollen tube growth. The warmer that you are, the more that a plant has to use available resources to survive. And it can't spend as much resources on actual reproduction. So what are some consequences of some of these? Well, you have increased cotton flowers and shedding. You also have decreased fiber quality. And you also have decreased fertilization efficiencies that can actually also potentially affect yield. However, there's also another little twist. It's not just maximum temperatures, like, say, throughout the day. It's actually a pretty powerful constant that we're kind of investigating with overnight temperatures in excess of 24 degrees centigrade at night. We're reducing carbohydrate yields. If we're reducing carbohydrate yields during the dark reactions at night, then obviously during the day we're not going to have as much for potential for growth, and that in turn produces for reproductive abilities. So Lee County, Arkansas. Many of us here are not familiar with it. Some of us are. Lee County, Arkansas is located in the Mississippi Delta. It is essentially located in the state of Arkansas, in the cotton-producing counties of the eastern counties next to the Mississippi River. It is also a very good for the study was representative, representative cotton-producing county because in the northern counties sometimes they get cooler temperatures. In the southern counties they also may get warmer temperatures. So this was a very nice middle ground to actually investigate. Weather observations for 2011. These observations are pretty variable. The solid red line is actually an average over the course of 30 years. The solid blue line is an average of the course of 30 years. And as you can see, throughout the weeks, there are a significant amount of variation that does occur. And we are investigating whether or not there is something to be shown for that variability and also yield. Going back, we took a look at some of the yields that actually have been provided to us, courtesy of Lee County and the USDA via their statistical service. And we did show that we did see that lint yield did decrease the warmer the temperature got, particularly in the temperatures of July. In August, we did also see a negative correlation there. However, With the increased July, that kind of falls in line with perhaps flowering. So we want to take a more critical look at that time period and perhaps a little bit before. So when is cotton production most temperature sensitive? Was it during squaring, first flower, peak flower, open bowl? We wanted to cover the whole gambit. We certainly didn't want to leave anything out to chance. However, I also thought to myself, well, could there potentially be something else we could look at? Could we also determine contrasting yields with temperature of, say, modern cultivars that include BT cottons, as Roundup Ready, with older, conventional, more standard cultivars? So here it turned into a kind of a multi-part hypothesis. Could we recognize time periods when temperature sensitivity is greatest? Could we identify differences between modern and older conventional cultivars? And would those differences be influenced, per se, by irrigation or non-irrigation? So many, many parts to this to investigate and think about. So take a look at the methods here. First, we acquired the data. This was all done on a computer. This was actually brought to us. I had to go out and find this, courtesy of the National Agriculture Statistics Service. This information is provided by farmers who fill out an application form and send it in. That data itself is very, very useful. So if anyone knows a farmer who hasn't turned one in, please, you know, nudge him a little bit. One thing I do want to point out, though, is that no data was available for 2007, 2008, 2010 because of that reason. There wasn't enough surveys. The planting dates were actually provided according to the Luman Cotton Research Station in Marianna, Arkansas, which is in Lee County. And I took the assumption, which I'll come to before, that most growers are actually going to base their growing time upon whenever the Luman would actually be doing it. So we have data entry. We have weekly counts of days where the temperature is above 90 degrees. This corresponds to about 32 degrees centigrade, plus or minus. 30 degrees centigrade is about 86 degrees. And if we relate back to Ready, before the optimal temperature growth between 20 and 30, the temperature of 90 degrees is above what we used before. I do want to make a quick point. I did want to stick with Fahrenheit, because a lot of people in here, and particularly in the U.S., we like to stick with Fahrenheit just because it's easier to understand. It's easier for us to be able to identify and correlate with that. One thing also, and weekly counts of 75 degrees and above. This is important. Maximum of 7. There's 7 days in a week, and I made weekly counts. So here are the assumptions. First, the cotton growth pattern. This has been established several times. For 35 days after planting, typically we receive first squaring. 60 days, we receive first flower, and 85 days peak flower, and 120 days for open bowl. It's what we consider the optimum growth stages. So, and like I did mention before, I did make the assumption that most farmers would actually be using the Lee Cotman to be their, the Lou Man as being their planting cycle. And I made these 1 week prior, the week of, and 1 week after. So I'm trying to cover all possible planting dates whenever a farmer may be initiating his field. Any statistics that were done were actually done with JUMP 9.02. First was done with a multivariate, and followed by a Y over X, followed by a linear fit, also to an ANOVA and an R-square. So you know, the yields of non-irrigated cotton before and after the adoption of BT. Almost all growers nowadays actually plant BT just because of its usefulness. Also, Roundup Ready cotton. About the year 2000 in Lee County, 50% of a cotton sown was actually BT. And as you can see, the yields themselves have just been increasing. And with the conventional rates, they were moving down. Also, with the irrigated cotton, we also showed an increase. However, there's a slight fun thing here, is we didn't show any significant differences whenever you're looking at temperature, when you're relating it to all these potential planting dates and potential growth pattern dates. There didn't seem to be any temperature identification where we could say, okay, this is a time when we should expect yield to drop. However, for irrigated, we did see a significant difference. Matter of fact, for first flower week one, which is 1 week before first flower occurs, the minimum temperature actually showed significant difference between whether or not the yields were affected or not over the course of the year. So the warmer that it is during that week, the less your yields would be. And just to summarize, I took that large graph and just kind of summed it down for you. We have the pinhead squaring of week one, and week three, which is week one is 1 week prior. Week two would be when the maximum rate would be. And week three would be whenever it's just on its edge, according to the growth pattern. And notice minimum temperatures were the most effective. Maximum temperatures during the day did not have any significant effect. And the first flower of week one, we did see a very, very strong R-square value there. P-value 0.0011, indicating a strong correlation. First flower week two, everything started to drop off. So the further that this kind of does show that the further that the cotton plant is actually moving past flowering, the more it has able to adapt. And essentially, what is set is more or less set. Your yields are what they're going to be. So our conclusions, were we able to identify differences between modern and older conventional cottons? I'd say that we did. Modern cultivars did seem to produce better yields. However, they were more susceptible to temperature influence upon the overall yield. What about whenever we're trying to recognize time periods when temperature sensitivity is greatest? Well, the analysis did suggest that there was a sensitive time period for the modern cultivars. Again, for the irrigated, this is the week before pinhead, the week after the maximum of pinhead squaring. Also, minimum temperatures week one of before first flower. And for the non-irrigated, we do have a minimum temperature and two maximum temperatures, but all occurring during flowering stages. So with that, I'd like to say thank you very much for Dr. Derek Oosterhaus and the team, particularly Tyson Raper, and for help with statistics. And are there any questions, comments, concerns? Jokes? Riddles? Life philosophies? No? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Oh, sir. Yes, sir. Life philosophy? Absolutely. Whenever you have from Luman, they had a planting date. And what I did is I said, okay, I know people are not going to be planting. Everyone's going to be planting on that date. So I took a week back, and I made counts for the high temperatures above 90 degrees or above 75 degrees Fahrenheit for a low temperature, and put that into a chart. And the week of when they did of when Luman did made that, and I also did the week following. So I tried to cover the potential areas of where a grower would actually find time. Because in a county, you may have on one side maybe a little bit wetter on, say, an eastern side versus more of a western side. So there's going to be a little variation. However, by grouping them into weeks and not focusing more on just the exact planting date, it did seem to offer a little bit more of a buffer for analyzing the data. Did that help you a little bit, answer? Sure, sounds good. Any other questions? Thank you very much. I appreciate it.